We're studying the Bible together, and I really enjoy every time all the conversation we have back and forth. So let's open up this morning with the prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much again that you allowed us to come together. We pray for the people that could not be here today for any reason that came up, whether they be sick, whether they be whatever reasons they're not here today. We would pray for them that you would be with them during this time, that you're growing them in your grace and knowledge through whatever circumstances they're going through at this particular point. We pray that you would bring them back to us next week and that we would enjoy their company and enjoy learning about you more and more through each one of our studies. Father, be with us as we go into our feed over our time of fellowship. Bring it to each person and make that food nourishable to each one of us. We pray for the food we're going to eat. And Father, just open up our eyes and our minds to you during this particular time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're still in Genesis. Now, when I left last week, I kind of went through a thing, and in the last two verses of 26 kind of leads right into 27. Because he's trying to take a turn here, because he talked about a treaty they made. And then it said, Esau was 40 years old, and he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beerhai the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which grieved the mind of Isaac and to Rebekah. So they didn't like the idea that Esau was marrying outsiders outside of their faith into the family. It grieved them that he thought this could do that. So evidently, he probably knew that mom and dad didn't want him to do that. Mom and dad sure didn't want him to go to these bad people that are around him, these people that do not follow the same faith, and bring them into the family. We remember that Abraham actually sent his aide all the way back home to his family to find a wife for Isaac. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that he found somebody that was in the same faith. They follow the same God. They follow the same faith. When you introduce other teachings into our belief or the belief of that you have, it waters down what you have. It changes the message that's given out. Inadvertently, it will. It's like a cancer that eats you out from the inside. It starts real small, and then it grows, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the same thing we talk about sin, how sin starts. Well, it's just a little lie. It's a white lie. There's a Santa Claus. And then it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and now we have to buy all these gifts and have all these big red men standing up all over the place during Christmas. But you see, so it grieved him that he would violate. I'm pretty sure they have had conversations with him about, we want you to get a wife from back home. And it was like a snub in their face saying, I'm gonna go my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And, you know, that's the thing about it. God gives us directions to follow, right? And then sometimes we just poke our finger in his eye and say, I want to do the things I want to do, God. I want to do it how I want to do it. And that's called sin. And we all do it, and it happens, and we see it happen back in here. And I was talking to the gentleman back in the back. He's like, but the thing about it is, why does God give us all these imperfect examples? Why does God give us imperfect people to show us that and to still work through? I personally believe that God gives me imperfect examples because I am imperfect. If God can move through some of these people, if God can move through a murderer, which is David, what can he do to us? If God can move to a persecutor of the church, a guy named Paul, what can he do through us if we just give him leave to do it and we try to follow his teachings? So that's the reason why I think they give us through here. And we're going to see some imperfectness. Nobody in here is perfect. There was only one perfect man, and guess what? He was crucified on a cross. So, it starts in 26:34. It says Esau was 40 years old when he took, no, we already did that. And 35, it said, which we grieved the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. And we're going to move on to 27 now. Genesis 27:1. And it came to pass when Isaac was old. Now, I've done some reading my notes, and the notes say that he was 136 years old at this particular time. Let's see. 130 years old. I'm sorry. 130 years old at this particular time. No, excuse me. I'm wrong. 137 is what it says. I'm going to trust that. He was an old man at this particular time, 137. You realize, though, that he was not going to die for another 40 years. But it came to pass when Isaac was old, 137, that his eyes were dim, so he could not see. So evidently he was 137. Age was starting to get to him. He's like that little old puppy dog out there that, you know, gets 16, 17, 18 years old, and he starts losing his hearing. He starts losing his eyesight, and you have to take him. You know, it's not a fun time. It's not the same life that you had when you were younger, right? I've noticed as I've gotten older that I cannot do box jumps with 80-pound weights on my back the way I did when I was younger because I break feet. Okay? It happens. And I'm sure as I get older, I'm going to notice that my muscle structure is dropping down and I'm not going to be able to do what I do now. Now, that don't mean I'm going to go away and fight it. I'm not going away gracefully. I'm going to fight it every inch of the way. But I will degrade. We all degrade. Okay? I hate to tell you, the body doesn't get better as it gets older. It degrades. It was never intended to. We were supposed to live forever. But guess what? Sin came into the life and it started degrading the existence. Everything degrades. It says the whole earth groaneth, waiting for the Lord Jesus to come back. So we see Isaac getting up into years and his eyesight's going. He can't really see anymore, okay? So he calls Esau a son. And it's probably one of those days it's like, man, I just don't feel good. I don't even know I'm going to make it through the day. I'm pretty sure people have that. You know, my father-in-law got to 92 and he lost. Right before that year earlier, he lost one of the kids he raised. It wasn't his actually body kid, but it was one of the kids that he raised. And he started giving away his stuff, and he just got tired. He got to the point where he did not want to go on. So you get to that point. It's like, I can just see him. He's like, I'm 137 years old. My eyesight's going bad. I don't feel like I'm going to continue to make this. So then he calls Esau's eldest son in, and he said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. So his son, he comes in, he's like, Esau, my son. And his son comes in, here I am, father. Why do he have to say, here I am? He can't see him. He can't visually pick out who it is. So he says, here am I. And he said, behold, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Well, that's true for all of us, right? We may not all be old, but none of us know the day of our death. We're not accounted one more day, are we? We don't know when the day of our death is going to be. Only the Lord knows that. So he says, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. He says, now therefore, I pray thee, take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow and go into the field and take me some venison and make it and make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat that my soul may be blessed, so that my soul may bless thee before I die. So he says, whenever there were certain blessings that were given by fathers to carry on the family, okay? So he's saying to Esau, he's like, go out, go hunt, and get me a good old nice deer. Cook that thing up good, get the barbecue pit going, throw that thing. I heard that smoking a deer is not any good. I've never tried it. But you're going to cook it up a certain way that makes it really good. The way his father knows, the father really loves to eat it. Make me up some good victuals. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee for I die. So I may pass on my blessings to you. Now, it said, there was a saying back of whenever they were born, what did it say of the two boys? The older shall serve the younger. God gave a prophecy back then that said that the oldest one will serve the youngest one. Now, that's not normally the way it is it? In this particular time, usually the oldest child, the oldest boy, gets to be the head of the family whenever the father passes on. And we saw intervention in that in the last, whenever it was Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. We saw that Sarah was barren for a long time. She was 90 years old, and she still hadn't had a child. So some 14 years earlier than that, she's like, well, I'm barren. Let me send my handmaiden in. And we got Ishmael, and none of that good come of that, did it? It caused issues in the family from then on out. And we see this same meddling of people right here. God already said that the younger was going to serve the older. The older was going to serve the younger. Well, it already said that, and we seen early on how Esau didn't care for his birthright. He just he was willing to sell it for a bowl of soup. He did not care so much for the birthright. And it seems, so Jacob, the conniver that he is, the name means supplanter, but the conniver that he is, connived a way to get the birthright away from him, right? He's like, well, you sell me your birthright and I will give you some of this good old victuals. And he's like, Esau was like, the birthright's not doing me any good. Yeah, you can have it. Give me some food. He despised, and God held that against him. He said he despised the birthright. He despised what really he should want to hold on to. So at this particular time, he's saying, let me go out and I will give you the blessing that you deserve being you're the oldest child. Now, I'm sure that Jacob knew that God had said that the younger shall serve the older. But he still, it's like he has this love in his heart for this older boy, right? He has a favorite. And not only that, one second. And not only that, there's tradition that goes on, right? The tradition is what? The older one gets the stuff, right? And then the younger one served it. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, I read a commentary and it said that Isaac at this time
had a whole ring. Oh, yeah. So, he's saying there to go out and get me some good victuals and I come back, cook it up real good. And let me eat that thing so I can bless you before I die. Now, there's a little bit of dramatic here going on, okay? Give me some food, and I'll bless you before I die. He's going to live another 40 years. So, he's not feeling really well. He's not in a good place right now, okay? Now, Rebecca was listening in. Now, she was always snooping around, it seems like. She was listening in on the, I guess there was curtain walls, and she was listening to what's going on. My son does that sometimes. Me and Amy will be talking in the living room. All of a sudden, he'll come out interjecting right in the middle of the conversation. Son, it has nothing to do with you, TJ. Go back to your room. This is between me and your mama. But we have, you know, some people just listen. You know, they hear what's going on, okay? And that she evidently was one of these people that like to listen and hear what's going on. And so Rebecca heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt venison and bring it. So Esau was a dutiful son. He's like, okay, cool. Dad's going to give me a blessing. I'm going to go get me some deer. We're going to cook this thing up. I'm going to get my blessing. We'll be ready to go. But Rebecca heard this. The thing started turning in her head. She has a favorite son too. Her favorite son was the one that stayed under her skirts the whole time. He was the son that stayed at home and lived with mama, was a little mama's boy. I personally like the big manly guy that goes out hunting and fishing and everything like that. I don't like mama's boys, but that's just personal to me, okay? But we have this mama's boy here. I don't want to be lied of, but that's kind of the idea you get. It was her favorite son. And it says, Rebecca spoke to her son Jacob, saying, behold, I've heard thy father speak to Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Wait a second. He's going to give Esau the blessing and not you. Now, she knew of this prophecy. She knew that the son, the eldest was supposed to serve the youngest. So maybe in her mind she said, wait a second, I got to stop Isaac from doing this wrong. I've got to fix this before it happens. I will give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that's her mind. I don't go there. But understand, I don't know what's going through her mind. But she came up with a plan because she wanted Jacob to inherit that blessing. There's something going on to this family. This must have been one of those dysfunctional families. I just don't know. But each had their favorite, and it seems like the parents were pushing these two youngsters against each other, and one had their favorite, and both of them wanted to be on top, one wanted the other be on top. It's a weird dichotomy that I see going on in here. So she comes up with a plan. She says in 8, she says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Do what I say. Listen to me, son, and do this. Go to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meats for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and may bless thee before his death. She says, go out to that pasture, get me 2 young goats. When the meat's going to be just right. It's like when you get the young calf, you get that veal. Veal Parmesan is real good. And then the meat's so succulent and everything like that. I heard that, and I've never hunted pig, but I heard that if you get a younger pig, the meat's better than a pig that's an older pig, even though he may be bigger, the meat's more gamier and tougher and everything like that. So she wants the best of the meat so she can make the, because she knows how to cook. She's been with this man for 40 when they got married. Was it 40? I want to say it was 40. And now he's 137, so she's been with him for quite a while. That's 97 years. I think in that particular time, she's learned how to cook for him. So she's going to make him up something that he really, really, really likes. And it's going to have to be you know, kind of tasting like venison and all this other stuff. So, go get that. Let me cook them. You take them in there and you can get the blessing that your brother's supposed to have. There's some trickery going on here, isn't there? Maybe we know where Jacob gets his trickery from. Because Jacob's a little trickster. Maybe he's getting it from his mom because we see a little deceitfulness. There's a little deceit going on in here. And Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Well, we know this is a for fact because when Esau come out, they said he was red and hairy, right? When he came out of the womb, he was a different sort of an individual. Evidently, these were not, identical twins. Okay? Evidently, there were some differences then, okay? And we kind of decided that. Did anybody research what it means to be identical twin ever? Because we brought up, there was somebody that brought up whether... No, nobody did that research. Good, okay. I don't have to jump off in that thing. But they weren't identical. One was a hairy man. And we're going to find out that he has a little bit of an odor about him. And the other one had smooth skin. Probably lived inside the tent. His hands were not near as rough, you know. One of them guys that did the paperwork all the time where the other people were out there turning the wrenches. He says, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and my father peradventure will fill me." In other words, most likely dad is going to take and he's going to want to touch me in some way. And if he touches me, he's going to find smooth skin and not hairy skin, and the gig will be up. It says that it, peradventure will fill me and shall seem to him to be a deceiver. I shall seem to him to be a deceiver. We know that he's a deceiver. But it shall seem to father that I'm trying to pull one over his eyes on here. The game will be up. What we are doing will come to light. So he says, peradventure, he will feel me and it shall seem to him as a deceiver, and he shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Dad's going to bring a curse down on me and not any kind of blessing. I don't want to be involved in dad's wrath. Oh, excuse me. Did I make a mistake with that? Yes, sir. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. I don't want to incur this wrath that will come from what happens if I am found out to be a deceiver here. The mother said to him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son, and obey my voice and fetch them for me." He's like, "Don't worry, son. I'll take that curse for you. Whatever happens, don't worry. I will suffer the consequences. Just go get them goats for me." Well, what was Jacob's response? "Okay, mom says to do it. She's going to take the curse. I don't have any problem with this. Let me go get them goats." And he went and he fetched and brought to him them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, which his father loved. Again, she's been with him for 97 years. She knows what he likes to eat. So she makes some good victuals that she know he's going to love. And Rebekah took the goodly raiment from the eldest son Esau, which were in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. She took the clothes that Esau had, his goodly clothes, the clothes that he doesn't go out to hunt with, the clothes that when he is in the tent area, I'm pretty sure he comes in, his mom says, "You stink, take a bath and change your clothes." Jacob, she never has that problem with. He don't go hunting. But it, can't think of the name again. Esau's that outdoors man. He's like that guy that doesn't bathe for 3 days before he goes to the first deer hunt. Yeah, you get a little bit pungent, you know, and they say, they're not using soap because they don't want to have any of the odors that come from here out there to chase the deer away. Well, you may chase the deer away yourself with some of that odor, but I'm not going there. So she took the goodly raiment for her eldest son, which was in her house, and put them on her younger son. And she put skins of the kid goats upon his hand and up upon his smooth neck. Now, when I was doing a research, it said, note, we must not think of our European goats whose skin would be quite unsuitable for such a deception. But it is the camel goat of the East whose black silk-like hair was used even by the Romans as a substitute for human hair. So, understand, we're not talking about a goat that we look at over there with the coarse hair. This was more of a hairy goat, which had a little bit more finer silk-like hair. So when you read that, you're like, okay, I could probably live that he had some more hair on his skin, but it wasn't the hair of a goat, which I don't think anybody could ever think the hair of a goat would be the hair of a human. That would be a very disfigured young man. So we got to realize, again, we got to look at what the area is. And I didn't really look at that until I looked at down at the thing. And that was a neat thing to look off into. So when we look at them, don't look at the goats we see every day. Look at the hairier goats that come out of that particular region. So she put the skins of the kids, goats, on the hands and on the smooth of his neck. She gave the savory meats and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, who art thou my son?" Oh, I've got to do this right. He came to his father and said, "My father." And then he said, "Here am I." And then what was Jacob's response to that? "Who art thou, my son?" Wait a second. This don't sound like Esau. He can't see, but he can still hear. Evidently, his hearing has not diminished to the point of his sight. So he can hear. He's like, this don't sound like the same guy that I was talking to earlier. And Jacob said to his father, here goes his first lie. "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to you beddest me. Arise, I pray, and set and eat my venison, and thy shall bless me." He comes into it. He's imitating his brother, lying to his father, because his mother wanted him to do it. And understand this. He wants to do it just as much as his mother does. His mother just giving him the way to do it. She's the brains behind this outfit making it happen. But they're in cahoots. He wants to be number one. Who in this world does not want to be the top in everything they do? Who does not want to be the head of their family, the head of their business, the head of their life? We want to be like God. That's our problem. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. Do we not? Who in here can lie to me and say that they don't want that? At least at some point in your life, you want to do what makes, I want to do what makes me happy. And that's my problem sometimes. Because the things that make me happy doesn't make God happy. And then we have a problem. This is his problem. He wants to be number one. God's already said he's going to be number one, right? Let God do the work. But no, they're going to interject and they're going to get in there and they're going to get in the middle of it. So, "I am Esau, your firstborn, who you badest to, bade me arise, I pray, and sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may be blessed. And Isaac said to him, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Isaac's not dumb. Isaac's saying, wait a second. You done caught the, you done went out hunting, shot the venison, cleaned the venison, prepared the venison, and brought it to me. That's awful quick, son. How is it that you found it so quickly? Let me see. Okay. And here's a big one. Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now, when you go to the Ten Commandments, there's a big one. It says, thou shalt not take thy Lord's name in vain, right? Is he taking the Lord's name in vain right here? Now, keep in mind, the Ten Commandments has not happened yet. But God is the same now as he was yesterday. God does not change. If God did not want you taking his name in vain when he gave the law, he doesn't want you doing it now, and he didn't want you doing it back then. But he's invoking God and said, God brought it to me. God led me to this. God brought it to me, Dad. There's a problem there. There's a problem there. You know, when I was growing up, and when I was growing up, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was probably 12, 13. I don't know when to die, how old I was. I remember when I did it, and I know that it was true. But then I walked my own life for a while. But there was one thing. I was not going to take the Lord's name in vain. So I would never say God in front of any other vernacular, if you know what I mean. That was the one thing I was not going to do. Because I was so naive in my understanding, and I thought that was what it meant to take the Lord's name in vain. That I don't say God, bleep. I would say all other kind of words, okay? Of which I'm not going to repronounce here. I was a Marine. I had the normal Marine vernacular, if you ever, I was a foul mouthed person. But it says don't take the Lord's name in vain, it takes so much more. There's more to it. And he is now saying that God brought me to this. God brought me into this. God brought this to me to do. And I don't think that's true. I think he's kind of fibbing a little bit here. Yeah, it's a lie. But then again, the whole situation's a lie, right? Let's see. Yeah, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Yeah. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near me, I pray, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. In other words, just like he thought, he said, peradventure, perhaps dad's going to want to feel me to make sure I'm hairy. Well, mom's done got that figured out. So he comes up, he lays his hands on there, and he feels his wrist. He's like, yeah, that's hairy. So evidently, Esau must have been a very hairy man because he's feeling those goat hairs, and it's pretty hairy. Okay, and it was 21. Yeah, 22. And it's when Jacob knelt near to Isaac, his father, he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's. Isaac knows there's something wrong here. Isaac knows there's something wrong here, but he lets it continue on. There's a little bit to go to Isaac in this too, right? Isaac knows that there's something wrong with this, but he lets it continue on. He says, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau, so he blessed him. And he said, thou art my very son Esau. And he said, I am. So another lie. He's like, now you are my very son Esau, right? I am. He said, bring it near me and I will eat of my son's venison that my soul may be blessed. And he brought it near him and he did eat and he brought wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. So evidently he wanted to come up and give him a kiss. And he came near and kissed him. And when he did this, he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, I see the smell of my son as he is in the smell of the field which the Lord had blessed. When he smelt the raiment, he's like, this is the smell of my son Esau. This is the smell of a man that works out in the field, not somebody that lives in a tent. Okay. Therefore, God gave, in a field which the Lord had blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of the heavens, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, I'm going to go there next. So, what was the blessings give? The dew of the heavens. You're in a very arid environment, right? The dew of the heavens was a very good blessing. Why? Because sometimes that was all the moisture they got. And have you ever seen a really dewy day here in Texas? I've walked out and you see just, it almost looked like it rained the night before on the grass. There was so much dew on the ground. And that may be the only water some of these plants get for the day. So when you say the blessings of the dew of the heaven, it's like it helped for a bountiful harvest of everything that allowed it to grow. And it says the fatness of the earth. In other words, everything that grows out of the earth is going to be plentiful to you. And the plenty of the corn and the wine. These are things that can be raised to feed animals and sold and everything. It's a bountiful harvest of everything. Then it goes on to say, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. In other words, let everybody serve you. You're going to be the number one around and all the nations around you will bow down to you. We see that happening later on. And it says, be the Lord over your brother and let your brethren bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses thee. It's kind of a recap of the Abrahamic covenant, isn't it? Now, he got a good blessing, right? Now we go to here comes Esau. Okay, it's the past as soon as Isaac has made, and I don't have a lot of time, so we'll read a little bit. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, Isaac made an end, had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Almost immediately after this happened, here comes Esau coming in from his hunting. And Esau had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said to father, let my father arise and eat his son's venison that thy soul may be blessed. What was Isaac's response? And Isaac says, Isaac, his father said to him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Now, we have a feeling that Isaac had to be tricked here. Because look at his response. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou comest, and have blessed him, and yea, he shall be blessed." Where? Wait a second. So you see here that Isaac, look at his reaction. Isaac seriously thought that that was Esau. Even though the misgivings he had of the voice and everything like that, he had, through all of it, he had felt his hands, he had felt his neck, he had smelled his raiment. Everything in physicality said it was Esau. But you know, even though he had this problem right in the beginning because of the voice, they tricked Isaac into doing this. And he says he shall be blessed. In other words, the blessing has gone out. It can't be rescinded. It won't be rescinded. And Esau heard the words of his father and cried an exceedingly bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." You see this? He's like, "But Dad, don't you have anything left for me? Have you given away all the blessings that are out there and left nothing for me?" You know what? It seems that he coveted this blessing, right? He didn't covet his birthright, did he? He sold that for a bowl of soup. But he coveted this blessing. He wanted this blessing. So he said to him, "Don't you have anything left for me?" And he said, "Thy brother came in subtly and had taken away thy blessing." Your brother come in here and deceived me and has stole your blessing. And this is something that he wanted. You can tell by his demeanor when everything, he's like, he cried out. He was hurt internally saying, "Father, don't you have anything left for me? Don't you have some kind of blessing for me? Have you given away everything you have?" And he said, "It is not right. Is he not rightly named Jacob?" And the Jacob can be used for a deceiver or a supplanter. That's what the name means. Later, God changes that name, but we'll get to that later on. But it says, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times." He took away my birthright. No, he didn't take away your birthright. You sold your birthright because you didn't care enough for your birthright. There's a little bit of he's kind of deceiving himself a little bit here too, is he not? But he says, "He took away my birthright. He stole away my birthright. And behold, now he's taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Father, you got anything left in there for me? Please dig down the bottom of that bag of blessings that you have set beside you. Santa, don't you have anything left in that Santa bag to give me for a gift? Do you have anything left for me, Father?" And Isaac said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him. What shall I now do unto thee, my son?" I done given him. You are now basically his servant. I have given you over to him as a servant. I have given all the stuff that raised to sustain him in his life. What do I have left to give you, my son? And Esau said to his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father." Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Esau wanted a blessing. He coveted his blessing. Why? I think because the blessing had stuff involved with it. I think maybe he coveted the stuff. He wanted that. "Don't you have anything for me?" And he wept. And Isaac answered to him and said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven. Behold, his father answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heavens from above. And also by thy sword shalt thou live and serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. You're going to serve your brother, and there'll be a time when you break the yoke off neck. And I've kind of looked in the histories, and there was times whenever the descendants of Esau was under Israel, and there were times when they broke away, and then Israel would reconquer them, and then they'd be under them. So it was something that went back and forth. But this is something that did happen, and they lived by the sword. They lived in the scrub land outside. They didn't live in the plains where it was easy gardening. They had to work hard for their living, and they lived by the sword. They were not people that had easy lives as such. Not saying that farming or ranching or goat herding is an easy life, but it's a little hard. It's harder if you have to take and you have to go out there with a sword and defend your life to be able to get your livelihood. He goes on to say, as the Lord gives over the commandment of the Lord. Okay. And Esau hated Jacob because the blessings wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. In other words, as soon as my father dies and the days of mourning are over, I'm going to kill my brother. He had decided in his heart that this was what's going to happen. Dysfunctional family. Over stuff. So he had decided to slay his brother. And these words Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Now she didn't hear them, but she had her spies out there, and there was some talking going around. And I'm sure Esau was saying, as soon as my papa dies, I'm going to take care of that little snarling, conniving guy. I'm going to take everything. If he's out of the way, I have a clear spot to the leadership, right? If he's out of the way, everything he has is going to become mine, because I'm next in line. All I got to do is get rid of him. Yes, ma'am. In his mind, that's what it includes. Well, wait a second. What was the blessings? What was the blessing say for Jacob? Those that blessed me get blessed. Those that cursed me get cursed. Well, but so if you come against him, then you get the curses, right? So I would say, no, I don't think that. But in his mind, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking, you know what? All I got to do is take this man out of my way and I'll have everything that he has, because I'm the total son then. I get everything. And these words were told to Rebekah, and she went and called her Jacob, her youngest son, and said, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. In other words, your brother has it in his mind that he's going to kill you. He's got this in his mind that he's going to do you in. So she comes up with another plan. She says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, and flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. In other words, go live with your uncle Laban. until your brother gets over here being mad at you. Now, he has some powerful mad on him, right? If you're looking to kill your brother that you were raised, your twin brother that you knew all your life, there's some powerful anger going on right there. And understand that if Isaac is 137 years old, these men are pretty much up in age, right? We know they're over 40 because he took wives when he turned 40 to basically upset his mom and dad. He says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, flee now to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry there a few days until thy brother's fury is turned away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived of also you both in one day?" Now, when he's talking about you both, what is she talking about? No, he's not. She's not. He's talking about her husband and her eldest son. Because Esau is going to kill them. And what he says is that whenever I bury my father, I'm going to kill my son, my brother. So she's saying, why should I be deprived of both your father and you on the same day? Now, Rebecca's smart, right? She's got to get Isaac's approval for that. She just can't send her some way. She's the woman of the house, and the women at this particular time, that they didn't have any say at what went on. They were nothing. Women at this time were nothing but chattel, although they made themselves known in how they controlled their husbands. The women have always controlled us. It's just the way it is. What do you say? If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? And Rebecca went to Isaac, and she says, "I am weary of my life because the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife from the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are daughters of this land, what good shall my life do? I am worried so much on my husband that Isaac... that Jacob may take a wife like Esau did of these heathen people that are around us. It would just, what good is my life if he takes and he, I'd just kill myself if he was to marry one of these heathen women around here." I'm sure she laid into his eye mind right there, "Let's just send him back and get him a wife for my brother. And we'll find out that this does happen later on." I don't have much time. I'm already over my time for the day. But I wanted to hit to the end. Like I said, starting off, it's like they don't make soap operas sometimes that works the way the Bible does, guys. But if the Bible did not show us the fallacies of the people that's talking in there, again, I said, why do they use dysfunctional people why does God use dysfunctional people to work through? Because let me tell you something. We are dysfunctional people. We're not tuned up and ready to run on doggone premium gasoline. We have to run on the low grade because we're not functional enough to run on the high grade stuff, okay? We're not that good. God uses us in all our dysfunctionality to go forward and proclaim his word. And it's amazing that God can do that, is it not? And he shows us imperfect people to let us know that, yeah, I know you're imperfect. I can still use you. Let me use you. Anybody got anything? Yes.
I have an interesting note that on that lesson,
Yeah. Edom revolted several times. Yeah, if you read the history of Edom and Israel, there was several times they revolted and they were put back under the yoke, and then they revoked, and they were put back. I've read some stuff in that. It notes several times in the Bible where that had happened. Yeah. So I didn't want to get that deep into that, but yeah, they do revoke, and then they get back put under the yoke, and they get, so they serve the younger. The Bible is completely true in what it says, and that's another prophecy that you can look at that happens later on. If you really want to get that deep off into it.
And he also, Esau, what he did is mentioned in Hebrews 12:16 through 17. The Jews are told, you cannot go back to Judaism. You cannot want to be like Esau.
Yep. Yep. Can't go back sometimes. You can't put the what is it, something back in a box. What is it? The what? Genie back in the bottle. That was it. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once it's escaped, it's out. Okay? Anybody got anything else? Wes, would you close this morning, sir?